Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? Or whenever you're looking at the video, it might be morning when you're looking at it, but I just want to greet each and every student. We're going to start class number 5 today. And this class session is going to be a little different from the others because Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. wanted me to teach on the subject of pride. And he gave me a book to teach out of, and how pride is a major adversary to walking in the spirit of honor. So we will not be coming out of the Spirit of Honor book today, but there's a book, and you don't have to get it. I don't know if you can see it, but the name of the book is called Overcoming Pride, and it's by an author by the name of Gramilio McDonald. It's only about maybe 50, 60 pages long. But we're going to be coming out of that book. So I just want to let you know to definitely take good notes, because you can't go back in our book or the PDF on the Spirit of Honor and find the information. But I'll try to be as thorough as possible. I'll read some excerpts from the book and along with my notes, so that way you have everything you need. And I'll emphasize what you may see later on the quiz. And I trust that everybody did well on your first exam. As I stated, at the first class session, all of my exams come straight from the quiz questions. So if you keep your quiz questions, you can't help but do well on the exam. All right, let's get off into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you for that this is the day that you have made, and I trust, Lord God, that all the students are doing well, and they're receiving from God everything that he wants them to have out of these classes. We thank you for our apostle, who is the president of Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for the First Family. We thank you, Lord God, for the vision that you have called us to. We thank you right now, Lord God, that we're going to be productive citizens in the kingdom of God, and we're going to do your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, as always, Holy Spirit, I expect you to show up, because if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm leaning totally and dependently upon you. All right. As I stated, we're going to take what seems to be a turn, and we're going to look at one of the major enemies that causes people not to walk in honor. Now, everything we're talking about has to do with honor, but these are going to be enemies or hindrances from you not walking in complete honor to get the blessing that God has for your life. Once they get wrapped up in this deception I'm about to talk about, which is pride, it's hard for most people to easily break free. It grips you like a large snake that curls up around and chokes you spiritually until you're not hearing and you're not receiving from God, and that becomes almost impossible. The author uses, and it's not so much symbolisms, but I'm going to share scriptures out of Job, out of Isaiah. There's going to be a terminology I'm about to give you where the author went in and saw where the spirit of pride is synonymous with a name that's in the Bible, and that name is Leviathan, and I'm going to spell that. L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N, or the spirit of Leviathan. So what I want to say here is that the biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its roots in what the author calls the spirit of Leviathan. And like I said, that's L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N. Okay, let's get off into some scriptures, because the author and the Bible speaks of Leviathan as being like a sea serpent in the sea. And the sea is not necessarily a sea as in water, but a sea of people, or the sea of the families of the people on the earth. And how just like a serpent or a snake can coil itself around you, when you get hooked up or get engulfed in pride, pride through that spirit of Leviathan will coil itself around your soul until you can't hardly break free of it. Most people who operate in pride, it's hard for them to you really can't hardly break free of it on your own unless the Spirit of God gives you the right guidance and reveals to you where your pride is so that you can ask God to release you and free you of that pride. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but in your Bibles, because I want to prove to you, and not so much prove, but let you see that word Leviathan is actually in the Bible. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 27. And I'm going to turn to it too. Give me a second here. Isaiah 27. And we're going to be looking at verse 1. Isaiah 27 and verse 1. Give me a second. We'll get to it. All right. It says in Isaiah 27 and 1, in that day the Lord will in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that corked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. And like I said, that word sea is representing the sea of people, or people of the earth. And it said there's a coming day when the Lord will, with a sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that corked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. Some references refer to Leviathan as a dragon. But when I use the word Leviathan, think about pride. Leviathan and pride are synonymous. Amen? Okay. What is the spirit of Leviathan? God describes to Job a sea monster looking creature called Leviathan to reveal to Job the problem he has was pride. Remember when Job had all these things that was coming against Job, where his family members died and he was losing his possessions? And the Lord revealed to Job that the issue that he was having was because of pride. There is a strong evil spirit named Leviathan. Leviathan is an evil demonic spirit of pride. When you look at Job chapter 41, the whole chapter of Job, we're going to only read a few verses in Job, but it breaks down Leviathan a little bit more. The Strong's Concordance definition of Leviathan. I even went to the Strong's because when I first started teaching this, it was kind of, you know, when he said a sea serpent, you know, but it's a demonic spirit, you know. So look at it as a demonic spirit that has a form of a sea serpent, and he's plaguing the people of the earth, or the nations in, or the sea of people. Amen. Okay, this is what Strong says: a withered animal or serpent, a large sea monster. The context suggests some form of aquatic sea animal that dwells in the sea. In the scripture, the sea represents the nation of people. There is a dragon in the sea of people or the nations, and God is going to slay that dragon called Leviathan. All right. The nations of the world are consumed by the dragon or sea-like demon. This sea monster is known are represented as the spirit of pride. So, like I said, Leviathan and pride are synonymous. All right. This evil demonic spirit of pride manipulates and controls the masses of the world through the sin of pride. All right. Let me make sure all of my footnotes that I need, I read. Okay, basically I have here, they are referring to pride as some sort of sea monster in the sea of the nation of people that manipulates, controls the masses of the world through what we call the spirit of pride. In Job chapter 41, verse 34, you can turn there if you want. I got it in my notes. It says, behold, he beheld all high things. Now, if you can recall, a lot of times, The scriptures talks about high-minded or high things as prideful. He behold all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride, over all of all the beast. He is the proudest. It's talking about Leviathan. He reigns supreme over the pride of the earth. That's Job chapter 41, verse 34. Read it again. He beheld all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. Of all the beasts, he is the proudest. He reigns supreme over the pride of the earth. Another way of stating this is Leviathan. He looks down on all who are haughty. The word haughty, H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. He is the king or ruler over all those who are proud or have a proud look. Pride and Leviathan are literally synonymous, and I stated that earlier. It's hard to separate them because they're interwoven. When you finally break it down, pride is the root of all sin. Pride, in every sin that most people commit, pride has its inner workings in that. And one of the things we're going to find out, like today's session, I'm just going to kind of give you definitions and scriptures supporting pride. And then next week, we're going to go into more illustrations of how pride affects people and how to break free of pride. Amen. And how pride will keep you from not walking in true honor. Amen. All right. I said, when you finally break it down, it's the pride. There was a song back in the 70s, and it says, when you finally break it on down, it's the pride that causes people to do the things they do. And that is so true. Amen. Many people fall prey to Satan's temptations and get trapped into the sin of pride, which in most cases renders them incapable of getting back up and hinders them from walking in honor. Because the spirit of pride is so deeply rooted in their souls or in their hearts or your souls, Leviathan, like a serpent, twists himself around a person's heart or their soul, and they become callous meaning hard and cold, causing them not to walk in honor or causing them to walk in dishonor. When I first started reading and studying this, the thought of not a sea serpent, but a boa constrictor or a python, generally the way they kill and they conquer their prey is they coil themselves around you and you just can't break free. You just can't break free. That's kind of what pride does. I've seen illustrations, not illustrations, but people who got in pride. And a lot of times it might have been because they got corrected by leadership or they didn't get their way like they wanted to. And they allowed pride to creep in. And a lot of times pride caused people to leave the ministry earlier, before time. Pride called a young man who's been called to the ministry because he don't think he's getting the attention or the opportunities to minister like he should. He'll leave and start his own church, you know, before he's ready, before he's, you know, some people, they don't wait to be sent. They just went. And pride will cause you to just to go, or like I say, went, instead of being sent. And you're not ready. You don't have all that you need. And pride will cause you to walk out of a covenant that you have with your pastor. You know, when you join a church and become hooked up to a ministry, you actually come in covenant with your man of God. Covenant, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But let me move on because I have a lot of material to cover and my time is moving. Pride will keep you from getting back into position and out of alignment to what God has called you to do. I'm going to read that again. Pride will keep you from getting back into your position and out of alignment to what God has called you to do and keep you outside the will of God for your life. Never to walk in the true blessings that Jesus had provided for you because of being so tightly wrapped or caught up in the spirit of pride. Okay, now one of the things I want to talk about now is pride has a way of disguising itself. You know, it doesn't just come out and says, I'm pride. I'm proud. You got pride in your life. No. What pride will do, it will hide behind other other sins and is pushing them. And it keeps that sin in the forefront and it stays in the back, but it's the thing that's actually pushing and motivating you to walk in that area. Let me read something right here. Pride will disguise itself in many forms. It will manifest itself and hide behind these forms so you can't recognize its hold on you. Some of these are anger. One of them is anger. When people constantly angry, just, you know, pride will stir that anger up. You might get angry about something, but pride will kick in and start making you more angry. Pride will build it up to where you're just now, you know, continually angering and arguing about something that don't even make no sense. Arrogance. People who are arrogant think more of themselves than they ought to. Pride will puff them up. Pride will make them feel like you're it. You're the man or you're the woman, you know, and give them an arrogant spirit. Contention. You know, when you're in contention with somebody and you're not seeing eye to eye, pride will make you feel like you're not to blame. They are, you know. Disobedience. When you walk in disobedience, you know, and don't want to get out of it, pride will keep you in disobedience, you know. Pride will cause you to have an independent spirit. Independent spirit is a spirit that I don't need nobody else. You know, I work independently from the group. A lying spirit. Pride will. One thing about a lie, when you lie one time, you have to lie two or three other times to back up the lie you started. Pride will keep you in a lying spirit. Witchcraft. Perfectionism. You know, pride will make you think, hey, I'm perfect. I don't make mistakes. That's pride. Pride is an overinflated self-ego. Amen. Rebellion is another form. All of these are how pride hides itself. It hides itself behind rebellion, vanity, divination, rejection, bitterness, malice, envy, strife, hard-heartedness, overinflated ego, jealousy, and pride is the author of confusion, and it's a whole lot others. You know, conflict, dissension, confrontation, always being in a dogfight with somebody. Pride is the motivator behind a lot of this. There's a scripture, and I'm gonna turn to it right quick. Back when I was in college, a guy came up to me, and he wanted me to give him, I guess, my interpretation of the scripture. It's in John chapter 20 and verse 23. Give me a second here. And it was a while before I really understood. And I mean, there's always more you can get out of a scripture. But 20 and 23. Let's see if I'm right. Okay, that's not 20, that's 19. 20 and 23. Okay, listen up. Whose soever sins ye retain, they shall be, whosoever sins ye retain, they are remitted unto thee, and whosoever sins ye retain shall be retained. Okay, so what that is saying is, anytime there's sin or there's, and if you continue to harbor that thing and you retain it, it's going to be retained. But if you release it and let it go, well, then that sin is off of you. You know, you ask for forgiveness, you move on. But what pride will do, it'll keep you retaining those sins. It says, and whosoever sin ye, not necessarily your sin, but another sin committed unto you. You might not be the culprit of the incident, but if you retain it and you harbor it in your heart and really never forgive the person, that thing attack you worse than it did the person who committed the infraction against you, because now is you got it in your heart. And that's why the scripture says never to let the sun go down on your wrath. Always release it and let it go. You know, I'm be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, in other words, hey, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost kick in and give me an out on this and give me relief and deliverance on this. Amen. I've seen people, and I'm probably about to go on a side journey, who were good, loyal, faithful, anointed, blessed Christians leave the ministry because of small infractions or things they thought did not go the way they expected or it should have went according to their estimation, you know. And even though some of them tried to come back, pride wouldn't let them stay because there's one gentleman now, he's beginning to come back more, but I'll never forget in prison ministry, I had to set him down and I said, I hope this does not cause you to leave the ministry. And he says, Greg, I don't know if I could stay because I feel like I've been done wrong. See, pride will make you think you're being done wrong. Instead of taking the high road, pride will make you take the low road and find fault in what the decision or whatever the, you know, the outcome comes out to be. Pride will make you feel like to put you on the defensive now. But, you know, this gentleman, I mean, he comes back every now and then, but he's still dealing with the, he know he needs to be here. He know this is God. And you see, pride will pull you off of your assignment. And you see, if you're off of your assignment, you're not in honor. Amen. If you're off your assignment, you're walking out of honor because God can only bless what he ordained for you to do. And that's so very important to stick with your assignment. I mean, even as an instructor, right now in my life, even though I'm retired, there's a lot of things going on that I'm doing here and there. You know, I have to keep focused and recognizing this is part of my assignment. I can't let this slip. I can't just put this on the shelf because God has blessed me and an apostle has saw fit for me to be an instructor here, which is an honor. And I have to put the greater emphasis on this. Or if I'm called to minister on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday or whatever, or go to a hospital visit, I have to put everything on the back burner and put the assignment first, you know. And I can't let my own selfishness or my own things that I want to do get in the way of that. Amen? Because that's how pride will get in wrapped in you. Okay, let me give you the opposite of pride. All right. The opposite of pride is humility, godly humility. Jesus was an ultimate example of true godly humility. He always acknowledged and honored his Father. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 11, it talks about, you know, he being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself or emptied himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You remember Jesus said, Lord, if there's any other way that we can get this done, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, not what I want to do, but thy will be done. That's godly humility. Putting God's agenda, God's assignment, God's purpose, God's plan first place in your life. That's the key to walking in honor, you know, and not letting pride come in. Okay. All right. Those who walk in humility will be exalted, but those who walk in pride will be cast down or abased. Proverbs 16 and 18, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Read it again, Proverbs 16 and 8. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. In Proverbs 18 and 19, it says, a brother offended is hard to be won over, harder to be won over than a strong city. So a lot of times when you get offended, let me read that full verse in Proverbs. Take a little time and get to it because it says a little bit more than what I'm reading. Give me a second here. Proverbs, and I said it's 18, Proverbs 18 and 19. All right. Now, what I read was actually coming from, I think, the Message or another translation. In Proverbs 18 and 19 in the King James says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yea, thou must do it again. And the Message translation says, a brother offended is hard to be won over, harder to be won over than a strong city. So pride makes it hard for you to let go. Amen. All right. Now, here's something you're going to definitely need to know. You'll see it again. Pride, this is a definition of pride. Pride is an unreasonable and unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self or having a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem, considering oneself excessively dignified. One who depends on his own ability and knowledge. A person who lives independently from God and others. That's pride. It's unreasonable and it's unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self and having a sense of being better than others. Having excessive self-esteem. Considering one's self excessively dignified. In other words, I'm it, okay? One who depends on his own abilities and knowledge, a person who lives independently from God and others. Pride will make you think that you are the man or you are the woman, you know? It's having what is considered an ultra ego. You know, ultra means top, you know? And then an ego, you know, just I'm an overinflation of yourself, okay? Amen. But now in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says we shouldn't think of ourselves too highly. Okay, this is what the scripture says. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, or to think, you know, keep yourself low. And I'm going to share something with you about that. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. A good friend of mine shared this with me. We were going to a prison ministry, going to a prison. We were talking, and I had said some things, and I guess he detected that, yeah, God is using you, but he said, Greg, always stay small in your own eyes. Even though other people may exalt you and praise you and give you accolades, you need to stay small. Or stay focused on your assignment and don't let your head be filled up with all of these accolades, because all it's going to do is cause pride to rise up. And I've always taken that to heart, and I've always used it whenever somebody tell me something, I say, you know, and it's by the grace of God. You know, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace I don't take in vain. You know, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. You know, I'm not taking the credit. I'm not taking, all the accolades behind it. So always stay small in your own eyes. If not, pride will be knocking at the door. If you don't take, stay small, stay humble in your own eyes, pride will be, let me in. I got something I need to say. They're not treating you right. They're not acknowledging you like you're supposed to be acknowledged. I'm pride. Let me in. I'll get this straightened out. I'll put you on top like you're supposed to be. That's pride. All right? Okay, let's look at some other areas of pride and how pride hides itself in other aspects. Arrogance, a feeling or an impression of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or pretentious claim. It is the attitude of feeling superior and scorning others because of their intellectual level or lack of aptitude or ability, color of skin, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt a particular person above another. That's being arrogant. Okay? Proverbs 29 and 23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but honor upholds the humble in spirit. I'm in Proverbs 20. I want to make sure that I'm quoting it right from the King James, because that's a powerful scripture. And 23. Yeah, there it is. Proverbs 29 and 23. You can turn to it if you want, if you hadn't already. A man's pride shall bring him low. Okay? But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So here in this verse, you see where pride and honor are diametrically opposed to each other on two ends of the spectrum. A man's pride shall bring him low, okay? But honor shall uphold. And you see, with honor is attached to humility, you know? But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So you always want to stay humble. Like I said, stay small in your own eyes, and you can't help but walk in honor. But when you walk in pride, it will bring you low. Amen? All right. Let's see. Give me a second here. Let me get back on track. We talked about pride, arrogance, and we're going to talk about haughtiness. Okay, haughty. A person who's haughty is having or showing an insulting attitude towards people, putting people down because you think that you are better than they, smarter, and more important than other people. Those who are blatantly and disdainfully proud-minded are haughty people. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness all run together. God resists arrogant and prideful people. He rejects them because He detests the sin of arrogance. Pride and arrogance are in essence the same in demonic nature, because people with these attitudes are denying and disobeying the legitimate authority established by God. They do not believe in or submit to divine order. No, a person who's walking in pride, they're not going to wholeheartedly submit to divine order. They may act, I use this illustration, they may stand up on the outside, but they're sitting down on the inside because of pride. You know, they may go through the motions of being, you know, in line or in alignment, but in most cases, they always have an ulterior motive. Amen? All right. Proverbs 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way. The perverse mouth I hate. Okay? Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but when you walk in, okay, I'm kind of paraphrasing some things, but when you walk in pride, you will block yourself from receiving revelation knowledge because of no reverence for God, no fear of God. You then start to believe a lie and can't see the truth, you know, when you walk in pride. Amen. So you, even though the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, people who walk in pride don't fear God. Wow, my time is moving. I'm going to have to make some tracks here if I can get all this in. Always walk in Christ-like humility, not weakness, but meekness. There's a difference. You know, we're not weak, but we walk in meek. The Bible says that the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Proverbs 21 and 4 says, a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of sin, of plowing of wickedness is sin. I'm going to read that again. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of wickedness is sin. All right, let me move forward. Okay, this is something you're going to need to know. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. Read it again. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are all defined as the spirit of pride. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven. For his prideful act of rebellion, he was cast out of heaven. Proverbs 6:16 and 17 says, "The six things does the Lord hate. Seven is an abomination unto him. A proud look is number one, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." All right, now in Job 40 and 12, it's talking now more towards pride and how pride works. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wickedness in their place. Pride goeth before the fall. You know, in other words, that's paraphrasing Proverbs 16 and 18, which says, "Pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before the fall." Satan's heart was lifted up with pride because of the spirit of Leviathan. Matter of fact, pride came in existence the moment Satan tried to rebel against God, because he kept saying, I'm going to exalt my throne against the stars of God. I'm going to be like the Most High. You know, pride came in existence when Satan tried to revolt against God. Here's something else you're going to need to know about pride. The spirit of pride came into, and I just stated this, the spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. Amen. A prideful and arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Each time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, he reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan in heaven. Pride, if not checked, when I say checked, is not controlled and put under your feet, becomes contagious. One third of the angelic host in heaven fell with Satan because of his pride. So had one third of the angels fall with him. Even with Korah, during the time of Moses, when Korah rose up against Moses, and his company was swallowed up in the earth because of Korah's pride, and they got in line with Korah. So you got to be careful who you associate with. If somebody is operating in pride, step aside. If somebody is operating in pride, step aside. I'm not going to be able to finish all of this in my time slot, but I'm going to get as much as I can. This is something that pride says. Why I can't do it my way? Why do I have to submit to your way? Prideful people have an independent spirit, and that's something too you need to know. A person who walks in pride has an independent spirit. And I was stated earlier, you know, I. Pride is very selfish. If you look in Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 14, he says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the congregations of the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Pride is all about me. Amen. All right. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly and wholeheartedly, or acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority, divine order, or a spiritual covering. Read it again. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly or wholeheartedly, or acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority, divine order, or spiritual covering. They operate as long rangers or renegades. They may recognize spiritual authority, but they won't submit to it. Pride will blind people spiritually. It makes them unable to receive and walk in a covenant that they have through the blood of Jesus. Now, one thing about a covenant is designed to eliminate weakness. But a person who walks in pride, they don't think they have any weaknesses. All right, here's something else you need to know. A major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under somebody who they consider less knowledgeable or who have served less time in ministry than them. So, I mean, these are some things that pride will cause you to walk in. If you are experiencing difficulty submitting and serving other people under dedicated authority, this is an indication that you are under the spirit, are influenced by the spirit of Leviathan. With that said, I'm gonna conclude because my time just run out. But we're gonna continue next week in this subject matter on pride. And we're gonna give more definitions, but I think we have laid a good foundation how pride can and will affect you walking in honor. With that said, I'll see you next week. Amen.